Welcome to the Housetop Podcast, the teaching arm of Oikos Ministries. Jesus said, "Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops." Join our host, Terrell Hebert, as he teaches God's Word.
Well, good evening. We're welcoming you back to our Facebook Live broadcast from Oikos Ministry. I'm your host, Terrell Hebert. We've been teaching through a series of teachings called Strongholds, and we've had just a really blessed time through that series and have had many, many glowing reports and have seen just a lot of deliverance during this time. It's just a grand time. Now, we tried to transition. We were going to move into another topic, but last week we felt that we needed to add on, and so we did. When we ended the Stronghold series, we kind of put it out there to some of our friends, and one person had suggested that I teach on discernment. And so I'm going to do that. This is for one night only. We're going to talk about this topic of discernment. But, what we're going to do is I'm going to go right back, not to strongholds, but I think the broader subject than just discernment would be all of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about the gifts of the Spirit and open up a series on that next week. But for now, if you'd like to catch up on our teaching on strongholds, you can visit our website, www.housechurchesusa.com, and you could go through there. We have a library of audio and video, and you can do podcasts and YouTubes and whatever you prefer, whatever your digital preferences are. So, with that said, we're going to start tonight in Matthew, the 16th chapter. We're going to talk about the discussion on the words discernment. It's a fancy word. Literally, it could be judgment, but discernment. In verse 1, Jesus said, Then the Pharisees and Sadducees came testing him, asked him that he would show there a sign from heaven. And he answered and said to them, "When it's evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. Hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign shall be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah." And he left them and departed. Now, let me just read a little bit more in context. "Now, when his disciples had come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said to them, 'Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees.' And they reasoned among themselves, saying, 'It's because we have taken no bread.' But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, 'O you of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand or remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Nor the 7 loaves and the 4,000 and how many large baskets you took up? How is it that you do not understand? I do not speak to you concerning bread, but to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees.' Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees." So if we go back up to verse 3, I believe, he said, "You know how to discern the face of the sky." Now, he rebukes the religious leaders. Now, first off, they're looking at him. They're looking at God in the flesh. They're looking right at the Messiah, and they're saying, "Show us a sign from heaven." Now, you have to realize something. In chapter 15, he fed the 4,000. I mean, he just had fed 4,000. I mean, show us a sign. I don't know exactly what you're looking for in signs, but he comes to the next chapter. I mean, right on the heels of that, "Show us a sign from heaven." And he said, he called them hypocrites because you could discern natural things, but not supernatural. You can discern the sky and the weather, but you cannot discern spiritual things. And I believe we have a problem these days in spiritual discernment. And that's why I really want to take on the bigger picture of discernment in studying all the gifts. But for now, let's just go at this idea of discernment. And so discernment, as I said before, it literally means to separate. It's like to thoroughly separate. I mean, if you get down to the root of that, that's what discernment means, to sort out, if you would, to cut it apart. It has an idea almost like sanctification, to separate from. But there's several thoughts to this word, to learn by discrimination. We have to discriminate. Now we're getting closer to the idea of judgment, to give judgment, to decide a dispute, to withdraw from someone, to separate one's self. So in the context of this, it's the idea of religious discerning what a religious person is doing, discerning the genuineness of a religious person. If you get it down to the context, what their teachings are all about, the whole nine yards. So if you look at that, he said he was accusing the Pharisees of not, you can discern nature, you can discern the natural thing, but you cannot discern spiritual things. And I believe this is a problem today. First off, there's been a demonic onslaught in this generation. Wow, for the last, I would say since I've been saved, but mostly for the last 25 or 30 years, this idea don't judge, that we are not supposed to judge anything. If you judge, then you're worse than the devil, and it's a problem. And so the idea takes away discernment, because discernment literally means I have to make a discernment. I have to make a discrimination in my mind. I've got to sort out what I'm seeing, what I'm hearing, and differentiate between right and wrong, real and false, true and false, I should say, and make those determinations within myself. Now, I believe that I'm using this verse to start with, and really Jesus said, it comes down to this. He said, beware of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Beware of their leaven, the doctrine. And he said, you got to watch for this. Now, I believe we're in a generation that is, I mean, permeated with false doctrine, false religion. And in particular, two things. I mean, the foundational doctrines of salvation. We have multitudes, literally the most people who call themselves Christian believe in infant baptism. They believe you're saved by pouring water on a baby's head with absolutely no knowledge or understanding that just the ability to pour water on that child's head makes them saved forever. This is an unbelievably false doctrine, and multitudes are going to hell from it. There's another huge portion that calls themselves Christian that believe all you have to do is bow your head and say this prayer. Lord, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me my sins. Come into my heart. And that's it. You're saved forever. Nothing could ever take that from you. Now, that is literally, both of those cases are false doctrine. And so when we start talking to a person about Christian faith today, they say, well, I'm saved. Now, what does that mean? Were you infant baptized? Did you say a sinner's prayer? There's absolutely no evidence of a new birth. There's absolutely no evidence of a continuum of literally someone who's growing in their faith. They just say, I'm saved. And that's supposed to settle all issues and really make them evangelism proof. Do not witness to me. I'm already saved. And so we all back off and say, oh, okay. Well, you're saved. And with no evidence, and we're supposed to fellowship just on that confession that I've been infant baptized or that I have prayed a sinner's prayer. I don't really accept either of those issues, and I believe we need to learn how to discern that. And so there are three major biblical ways to discern. Three of them. And I want to point those out this evening. We're going to change from Matthew 16. Let's go to Hebrews, the fifth chapter. Hebrews chapter 5. I got a new Bible, so forgive me. We're working on it. Fifth chapter of Hebrews, starting in the 12th verse. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food or meat. For everyone who partakes of only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Look at there. Discernment through the use of the senses. Now we understand, same word, discern, to judge, to literally to make a judgment in the mind, that we need to discern. Now, what's amazing, I wrote a whole book based on this startup verse. It's called the Principles of the Doctrines of Christ, and it goes on into chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. But literally, the writer, I believe, if it weren't, this wasn't written by Paul, it was at least heavily influenced by the Apostle Paul. But he says, at a time, you ought to be a teacher. Now, this is an important thought, that there should be a progression in the Christian life, that you should be able to learn Christianity and begin to instruct another person in the principles of Christ and how to become Christian. There is a natural, even a supernatural progression at a time that you ought to be teachers. But you see, I believe, and 25, 30 years ago when I started working on this idea, this book called The Doctrines of Christ, I made the observation that it seems that those who claim to be Christian live in a perpetual infancy. They never leave the childhood stage. As a matter of fact, we could take this same thought back to 1 Corinthians in the 3rd chapter, and the Apostle Paul says, when I wrote unto you, I could not write unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, as unto babes, because you only drink milk. Now, according to the scripture, 1 John chapter 2 tells us that the young person, the childhood stage of Christianity, is only enamored with knowing God and being forgiven. I am forgiven. That's all they can get. They cannot move past that. And when you think about it, you can talk to people who've been supposedly Christian for years and years, and all they want to talk about is getting saved and being forgiven. That's it. Well, I'm forgiven. My sins are forgiven. I ask God and Jesus to come in my heart and forgive my sins. And I pray every day. I say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. And this is literally the entire depth of Christian understanding to most people now. And so when we start looking at that idea of the perpetual, he said, you're unskilled. All you drink is milk. You have no ability to drink or eat strong meat. And he says strong meat is for those who are of full age. That word there, teleos, it literally means mature or perfect. You've grown up. You're full grown and you eat the stronger meat of God's word. And so you go past it. Well, we don't need that. We just need to make sure everybody goes to heaven. Well, I'm going to tell you, if we don't progress, there's no insurances that everybody goes to heaven. So another discussion for another time. We're trying to zero in on this idea of discernment. He says here, and here's the point. Strong meat belongs to those who are of full age and those who by reason of use, this is like the ideas of a habit, habitual use, a practice, a habitual practice. Those who have, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern. You've made a practice of discernment. You literally practice discernment. You have worked out at this. You have vigorously exercised yourself in discernment. Now, I want to tell you, in the Christian walk in this day and age, you may not be judgmental at all, but at some point, if you're sincere about your faith, you will get judgmental. You have to. You don't have a choice. There's so many liars out there now that we are literally in a generation where the lies, there is a flood of lies that are going on. And I'm not talking about in the media or the politics. They are there too. But I want to tell you, the lies that come across the pulpit are just horrific. When you can have a lie that tells more than 2.5 billion people that you're saved by either getting water sprinkled on your head or by bow your head and pray this prayer, and that makes you saved. And in some cases, they're saying, and you could never lose that. This is horrific, non-biblical, demonic doctrines of devils. It's as simple as that. And so we're in that kind of a generation. And when we try to fellowship with someone and gain some commonality, I mean, years ago, I was here in the circles I was running around. Well, you know, we doctrine's not that important. We need to start majoring on the majors, not on the, I'm like, well, doctrine is very important. So your doctrine is that doctrine is not important. That's insanity. Jesus said, beware of the doctrine of the Pharisees. He also said, be not deceived. And if I'm not going to be deceived, then I must discern. Just because somebody says Jesus, look, I don't want to tell this whole story, but I'm going to tell a little part of it. When I first came to Jesus, look, I came in as a very raw recruit. I was a doper, a drunkard. I mean, a whoremonger. I was literally a raw recruit. Old good old Catholic boy. I knew nothing about nothing. And I'm telling you, I was in a Methodist church. And I met up with this fellow. They said, we got a new preacher coming in. I said, really? And the old preacher was an old Methodist preacher, just a fine old gentleman. I liked that old guy. We had great talks. He married me and my wife. I really enjoyed being with him in my young Christian days. He was a good fellow. Well, the new guy coming in, this is the truth of God. Listen, just hear me carefully. When I met him, I shook his hand. And as soon as I shook his hand, I'm not going to tell you exactly what ran through my mind. But my gaydar went off instantly, like Rudolph's red nose. Woo! I knew this man was a homosexual. I knew it without question. I wanted to say it. Old Tara woulda. Trust me. But I felt that would be too crass, too. Christians don't talk. We don't say that. We don't have that kind of accuser. Well, long story short, it proved out I was exactly right. And I began to trust my senses. There was maybe it was the Holy Ghost. I don't know what, but all I know is that I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt, this man was a homosexual. And What really uncovered it came from a whole nother issue that I found out he was a false prophet. He also taught the lie of infant baptism. And that really what got us really going at his issues. So when we see this, look at our text carefully. Solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised. Well, what are the senses? Seeing, hearing, smelling, touching, and tasting. These are the five senses. And there's no difference here. These are the way that we perceive. These are literally gateways of perception, but these are natural senses. They're not supernatural, nothing to, but it says by reason of use, and that is a habitual practice that we begin to discern. We need to absolutely be discerning people. Now, that isn't just based on opinion or based on, and it could be, and that's why we're going to validate the use of senses here real quick, but between the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. But for right now, I want to deal with just the idea of the ability of human beings to discern. I know people who are not Christian who are very good readers of human nature. And I want to tell you, you can do that. If you just pay attention, if you want to understand things, we cannot walk around so naive that we're just sucking in everything anybody says. You will get burned so bad, it's unbelievable. And after a while, you'll be sucked into something that is literally going to harm you. And if we're not careful, if we're not these absolute doctrines of devils, spirits of error, even spirits of Antichrist, will literally get hold of us, find their way in, because we're receiving from people we should not receive from. That's called deception. And if you let this into your soul, and God forbid you give your heart to them and begin to fellowship with them, then you begin to fellowship with a person in error, and all of a sudden, what fellowship has light with darkness? Well, you know, we don't agree with everything. You know, I know they pray to Mary, but it's okay. We don't agree with everything, but, you know, I know they believe in once saved, always saved, but we don't agree with everything, but, you know, doctrine's not that important. Come on, man. If it's not important, why did Jesus point it out? Literally, Jesus put it in his disciples' spirit to suspicion other religious people. Is that wrong? I mean, the Lord himself said, hey, beware of those guys, what they're teaching. Before, they're just happy-go-lucky, naive, and all of a sudden said, hey, watch out for them guys. Well, why'd you tell me that? I really like that dude. Well, not now. You start discerning them. You should begin to listen. Folks, if we listen, there's a trust that we can have if we develop the senses. And it's no different. If you go look up this word, who by reason of use, it's vigorous exercising. It's literally the same word for vigorous exercise. It's literally where we get the word gymnastics from. Gymnasium from. It's to work out vigorously in exercise, having the senses exercise by reason of habitual practice and use, we begin to learn how to just, yeah. Now, does that mean we're being judgmental or critical or a critical spirit? No, it means we're being discerning. And we have to do that. Now, stay with this. Let's move on to the next word. I told you there's three ways. The senses, developing the seeing eye, the hearing ear, the nose, the mouth, the touch. We develop senses. We develop our human senses. All right. The second way is just one chapter before this one, Hebrews chapter 4. I'll read it and we'll go from there. Starting in verse 12. He says that, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him whom we must give an account. So the word of God is a discerner of thoughts and intentions. Now, this is heavy duty. You don't know my heart. Oh, the Word of God does. And if we have, here's the coupling of what I just told you about discerning with the senses. When you begin to immerse your mind in the Word of God, your senses then become affected. Your perception of eyes, ears, nose, mouth, touch, are all influenced by what thus says the Lord. And so when we begin to perceive, that's perception, that is discernment. When I begin to perceive that this doesn't sound Christian, this doesn't pass the smell test, this doesn't look right, who are you going to believe? Me or your lying eyes? Who are you going to believe? Me or the Word of God? I told you I'm Christian. That doesn't settle all arguments to me. You understand? I'm not buying it just because you said it. People are liars. People can lie. They can give a false witness. Have you ever heard of that? A false witness? They give false witness and say, well, I'm saved. And there's not one visible sign that they are. Oh, you don't know their heart. The Word of God says, yes, I do. Stay with that thinking. When we consider the Word of God's effect on what we see, when we begin to apply the Word of God in the perceptions through what we hear, my Bible says that my sheep hear my voice and they know me. He also says, and I know them. And the voice of a stranger, they will not follow. Turn with me to John 10. Let's look at that passage for a minute. John, the 10th chapter. All right. I don't want to go too fast. I've been told I'm going too fast on this. Verse 1, most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter by the sheepfold, but by some other door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. Now look at there. There are people who come into Christianity through another way. There is one door. Jesus said, I'm the door of the sheep. There's one way into the sheep. Anyone who tries to come in another way other than through the cross is a thief and a robber. Okay? That's what it says. Look what it says. The same as a thief and a robber. Now, I've said this before. I'm going to say it again. You may steal a seat in church, but you will not steal heaven. There are many thieves and robbers. As a matter of fact, by my count, if you come in thinking that sprinkling your head when you were an imbecile infant who had no choice in decision making, if you think your parents' flesh or some wicked priest's flesh is enough to make you holy, you are so wrong, you cannot be any wronger. 2.5 billion people believe such nonsense. It's utter folly. It's an absolute lie, and it comes straight out of a harlot church. Now, I can't say it any clearer than that. The fact is, 2.2 billion people believe that. Even more, because there are many, quote, Protestant denominations, Presbyterians, Methodists, Lutherans, Episcopal, they believe in water sprinkling as well with infants, and that saves them. Now, this is as false a doctrine as you could possibly conjure up. Okay? Claims that everybody's saved. Then you have the sinner's prayer theology, which is equal easy believism, that says, bow your head, say this prayer, Lord, I'm a sinner, come into my heart, forgive me my sins, amen. That's it, you're saved forever. See, that's more false doctrine by more false teaching. These are thieves and robbers. They're making another door that Jesus never opened and never gave credence to. Now, if we keep reading, it says, he who enters in by the door of the shepherd, of the sheep, to him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hears voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice, yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of a stranger. Now, I'm telling you, here's a litmus test by the Lord Jesus himself to recognize and discern a false door. This is all this is about. Now, I'm going to read this all in context because it is absolutely essential criteria to discernment. Keep reading. Watch this. He said, Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. See? Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers. There he goes with that accusation again. He called him, all who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Now, who's the thief? Not the devil. The false preacher. The false prophet, all who came before me are thieves, plural, and robbers, plural. These are false teachers and doctrines who have a strange voice. They're not giving same credence to the scriptures concerning Messiah. As a matter of fact, those handlers of God's word, looking right at Jesus, could not discern Messiah. They said, show us a sign from heaven. And God was standing in front of them, who had just fed 4,000 plus women and children. Give us a sign. Just any sign will do. What? 4,000 people ate from 7 fish? Any sign will do. Not that one. Something better. Now, I'll give you a sign. It's called the cross. 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the fish. I'm going to be 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the earth. That's the only sign you're getting. It's the cross. It's the only door anyone could ever enter. It by this, if any man will come in. This is the door of Christ. right? But there's so many. Oh, well, we got sprinkled on the head. What's that got to do with anything? Please tell me. Well, I was water baptized. So what? So many who've never been born again. These are thieves and robbers. Please understand. I'm talking about hearing the voice of God. Watch carefully. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep, but a hireling who is not of the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf come, leaves the sheep and flees. The wolf catches the sheep and scatters. The hireling flees because he's a hireling, does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Now, I'm going to stop right there. Listen to me carefully. My sheep know my voice. They hear my voice, and they know me. They will not follow a stranger. The fact is, this is an act of discernment, an act of intimate knowledge. I know my sheep. I have goats. I have chickens. I have cows. It is amazing to me, especially in the idea of chickens. It's amazing. They know each other. They all look alike to me, not them. They know each other. They absolutely know. They discern who's of the flock and who's not. They know. Throw a strange one in there and see what happens. That dude's in trouble for the next few days. You ain't of us. They call it pecking order. And boy, they peck. Listen to me carefully. Knowing and discernment. Our discernments are so broken now that our senses have not been exercised because we are in a generation of a famine of hearing God's word. We literally are in a generation that is biblically illiterate. We don't know the word of God. And if we do learn the word of God, it comes from the foundation of infant baptism and sinner's prayer theology. So we've learned false doctrines and spirits of error, and we think that is gospel truth when it's not. Simple as that. Let's go back to Hebrews. And I'll build the case a little stronger here. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joint and marrow. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Now, the Word of God, the Bible, the written, authoritative, objective Word of God, emphatically, this is our authority, and it begins to build and influence the human senses. The Word of God, then, we develop the hearing ear. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the Word of God. We begin to develop, this is how Jesus talks. This is what God does. This is how the Holy Spirit functions. This is how the people of God live. This is what they do. Here's the normal things that the Bible tells us. And we begin to build a belief system based on the Word of God. That God left us fact, reasoning facts that we can come and develop a perception. And we say, I perceive. I believe you're a Christian. I bear witness. There's something kindred in the way you live and talk. And the spirit in you. I hear the voice of the shepherd inside of you. When we begin to develop the senses, we discern. We also discern good and evil. I discern you're not right with God. I perceive you're not telling the truth. You say that's judging. Yes! And if we don't, we're going to get sucked right into their deception and be part of the deception. It's so crucial that we develop this. And the Word of God has to have that kind of impact on our perception. You realize this, the natural perceptors, eyes, ears, nose, mouth, and the skin, that literally we have these natural perceptors, and we are literally perceiving things at all time through feeling, through sense. Then we process what we perceive. And sometimes, oh, that sounds so good, but something just ain't right. Wait, that instrument ain't in tune. Sometimes these differences are very subtle. That's why we must know God's Word. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper. Why does it have to be sharp? Because discernment requires severing the parts. It means to literally chop this stuff up and really look into it and see what we're dealing with. It is a discerning of the, it's sharp enough to divide soul from spirit. Do you realize soul and spirit is so interwoven that to separate it is almost, it literally is humanly impossible, and it only be done by the Word of God. Yes, there is a distinction. We are physical body, soul, and spirit, but the spirit and soul are so intricately interwoven, and they seem to flow through the bloodstream of the human body, and that literally we look at the idea of separating that and discerning between, is that the soul or is the spirit? Is this the man's heart or is that his mind? Is this the man's heart or is that his emotion? There's a distinction there. It's a discerner of joint and marrow. Did you realize that the joint, when you start dealing with the bone and the marrow within, that these things are, again, intricately woven? And to separate that out, I mean, you destroy it to physically separate that, but to discern it through God's Word, we know what's going through this person's soul and through his physical body through discernment by the Word of God. Now, you may not like this idea because it rubs everybody wrong. The devil does not want us to discern. He has one thing that the devil does, one thing, he lies. And his lie must be in a way that you don't detect it. All right? That's what he does. He lies in such a way that it's undetectable. And the goal of that is to make you afraid, to make you in unbelief. That's what he does. And so when we start looking at other passages of scripture, look at Matthew chapter 9. We were there in Matthew earlier. Matthew chapter 9. Look at a few verses. Verse 1. So he got into a boat and crossed over and came into his own city. Then they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you." And at once, some of the scribes said within themselves, look at where they said this to themselves, "This man blasphemes." But Jesus, watch this, knowing their thoughts. What? You can know their thoughts? You're judging. Yep. Jesus knew their thoughts. Have you ever known someone's thought? There are folks, I'm telling you, there's some folks I can see it coming from a mile away. You ain't Jesus. You don't know their heart. Yeah. Hank Williams did prophesy, your cheating heart will tell on you. You can't even hide it. Your thoughts are so, you ever see a little kid try to pull one on you, and I mean, it's just like they're lying big as, I mean, it's so obvious they're lying. We never really grow out of that. And unless you're born again, you're probably living some type of lie anyway. But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, this is an important understanding to me. The idea of perception that he knew their thought. How? Now, we're going to get into some more of that in a few minutes, but for right now, I believe the Word of God is, you say, well, he's Jesus, so he knows all things. Well, I'll tell you right now, if we, just a little precursor where we're going, the other way of discernment is through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is discerning of spirits. And literally the perception to know that thought, to know what's coming. And you get into words of wisdom, words of knowledge, discerning of spirit. These are revelatory gifts. And you begin to discern what a person's saying based on the Word of God, based on the Holy Spirit communion that you have. That the Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And boy, when he's saying, Look, there's folks I just don't bear witness with. And I've learned to trust the Holy Spirit in that. So when everybody loves, I don't care if everybody likes them. It's just not my, I don't care. That's not the criteria. Your popularity does not my criteria. The Word of God is my criteria. The Holy Spirit is my criteria. Am I running around just, I'm the judge of all the earth? No, I'm not that. I'm just telling you what I am doing is trying. I have my soul to protect and I have a flock to protect. And so I'm not just not buying everything coming down the pike. Look, I've listened to some preachers that were Gabriel smooth, and at the end, I'm like, something ain't right here. Because we don't, once you begin to know and really understand them, right? So look at it. Jesus knew their thoughts. I think this is an important thing. Let's look at another one in Mark chapter 12. Matthew, Mark, next gospel, Matthew, Mark chapter 12. And in verse 15, Verse 13, we'll start there. Then when they sent to him some of the Pharisees and the Herodians to catch him in his words, when they had come, they said to him, "Teacher, we know that you are true and care about no one, for you do not regard the persons of men, but teach the way of God in truth." Look, you see that this is religious flattery, right? I mean, they're setting him up, but it sounds so good. "Teacher, you know, we know that you're true and you teach the word of God in truth. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Shall we pay or shall we not pay?" He, knowing their hypocrisy, "Why do you test me?" See, perception again. This, to me, there two things were happening here. A word of knowledge and the word of wisdom came out at the same time. This is the discerning of spirit. To me, all three of the revelatory gifts were kicked in. He discerned they were liars. He discerned they were hypocrites. "You're fake. And here you come with the flowery religious stuff. You're a man of God. Oh." The Apostle Paul had this. Have you remember the girl, the little slave girl? She was up there. "These men teach the way of God and truth. Oh, these are the great men of God, and they teach the way of truth." For 3 days, she followed him, saying, just pumping them up. "Oh, these are men of God." And after a while, Paul said, "Come out of her, devil." Religious flowery gives me the heebie-jeebies, man. It's just like, oh, shut up. It's gross, to be honest with you. So it's like, okay, let's look at John chapter 6, one of my favorite ones. Look at John 6. I really like this one. I've used this over the years many, many times. Now, Jesus had just fed the 5,000. Remember, he left the scene and they wanted to make him a king, so he ran away. He went into the mountain to pray. The disciples crossed the sea. Well, he come walking on the water. Well, the next day, verse 22, "On the following day, when the people were standing on the other side of the sea, saw that there was no other boat there except the one which his disciples had entered, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but his disciples had gone away alone. However, other boats came from Tiberias, near the place where they ate bread after the Lord had given thanks. And when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they got into the boats and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus." Look at there. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Now, who were they seeking? Jesus. And they found him. And look how Jesus answered. Jesus answered them and said, most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. He judged them. He judged the thought and intent and the whole reason they were following him. You're fake followers. You seek me to get your belly full. You seek me for money. You seek me for a job. You seek me for a marriage. You seek me for a boyfriend or girlfriend. You seek me for all the wrong reasons. You're looking for me. What can you do for me, buddy? He judged the thought and intent of the heart. If you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, the Word, He is the Word made flesh. He's the whole Bible standing right there. All of it. He is the Bible personified. He's the Word made flesh. And when you develop a relationship with Him, you're going to get, this is going to rub off on you. And this idea, judge not. I can tell you right now, when all you can say is judge not, I already discern you're a devil. Now, I will receive judge not in a proper context. But don't sit around here telling me judge not, judge not, judge not, judge. Man, are you kidding me? That's demonic. And it's so out of context. All it's meant to do is, it's almost like this term now, you're a racist, you're a racist, you're a racist. Everybody say you're a racist. That's racism, that's racist, you're racist. My goodness, everything you do is racism now? That everything you do is judgment now. I'm not buying into that. And look, yes, I'm judging. You doggone right, I'm judging. I will not quit judging. My soul's at stake and the souls of others. I have to answer for it. The Word of God discerns the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Neither is there anything hidden, but everything is naked and open in His sight, of whom that will judge us all. If you're not learning the judgments of God when you read His Word, you're missing the whole point. We're learning how to literally be judged. And yes, I am being judged right now. The Word of God judges me. The Holy Spirit judges me. The body of Christ judges me. The world judges me. Please judge me now so I won't be judged later. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll start in verse 4. I'm going to really go into this next week, but for now, we're just going to lay the foundations for it. It says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the work of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits. There's our word. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. The baptism of the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. And one gift that I'm going to single out tonight in particular, discerning of spirits. Now again, same word, the word to judge spirits. That can be good or evil. As a matter of fact, I think, I believe it can point out either judging good spirit or bad spirit. I think it's critical that we do this. As a matter of fact, let's start with the first one in chapter 11 of Corinthians. In chapter 11, verses 27 through 29, look right here. Paul was instructing concerning the Lord's Supper and the as usual, the Corinthians were doing everything wrong. Verse 27 says, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. I believe this is one of the most underused gifts that there is, discerning of spirits. And in particular, when implied in discerning the Lord's body, to see those of the body of Christ. Now, here we have the individual duty that if you partake of the communion table, now I'm not talking about the cracker and the cup. To me, that's the symbolic pseudo false church communion. I'm talking about eating the communion meal. And we do this on a regular basis. We eat the meal together. And it's at the communion table where we begin to discern the whole body. Now, this just sitting and just we cast an eye and say, oh, you're the prophet, you're the preacher, you're the teacher, you're the evangelist, you're the foot, you're the hand, you're the servant, it ain't just casting an eye on them and say, no, we eat together. And you know what happens after you eat week in and week out, that when you literally you begin to know the people with you. And you begin to discern. You know the person who's going to pick up every dish in that room and start washing. You know the people who are going to prepare the meal and start fixing and serving. You know the people who are going to sit there and eat and not bring no food. You know the people who are going to literally, you know all their mannerisms. You know them. But you see, we have the first duty to judge ourselves before we eat. And I'm not just talking about some symbolic gesture, but literally we judge ourselves or we are eating in an unworthy manner. Self-judgment, to literally look through my own inventory, my own life, and being honest, this is where the true Matthew chapter 7 comes into play. Judge not, lest you be judged. When I inventory my own life and I became a harsh judge to my own soul, I ain't putting up with nothing concerning me. Hallelujah. Do you get this? If you're a soft judge to your own soul, you're lying to yourself. We judge ourselves so we will not be judged with the world. Read, that's what he goes on to say. I don't want to be judged with the world. I want to be judged by Christ, where there's mercy. I want to be judged with the body, where there's room for repentance and change. Amen? Amen. And so to discern the Lord's body, we begin to discern those humble servants of God. We begin to discern those who are just greedy and eat and shove people out of the way and want their own deal. We discern that. Well, you just judge. Yes! Yes, I'm judging. Discerning the Lord's body. When you begin to discern, look, here's a wonderful verse from Acts chapter 13. There were a little bitty prayer meeting. They were praying and fasting and seeking. They were ministering to the Lord. And I think there were five people there. I'd have to go back and check, so don't quote that. I'm not trying to quote exact here. I think there were five people there. And the Spirit said, separate to me Paul and Barnabas for the work that I have for them. Now, how did the Holy Spirit say that? They weren't reading the New Testament. The Holy Ghost said, separate. A word of wisdom, a word of knowledge came and said, separate to me Saul and Barnabas for the work. And the greatest missionary team that ever went out took off. We have most of our New Testament because of that minute. That little bitty prayer meeting. The most significant New Testament prayer meeting where they heard the voice of the Spirit, discerned the body, and knew that here's two apostles we send. How about that? That's powerful, man. And you say, well, that's not for today, said the infant baptizer. That's not for the day, said the sinner's prayer guy, who had a mental assent to God from jump start and has never been born again, who has don't even believe that the gifts are for today. That's not for today. Why was it not for today, devil? We live in the age of the Holy Spirit, the kingdom come, yet the gifts of the Spirit are not for the day. This is a demonic lie. And I would encourage you to repent. Stop believing that. It's a lie. I want to tell you, I'm so encouraged. We had a wonderful, wonderful breakthrough. We've got a Calvinist couple. They were ex-Calvinists. I'm telling you, they got saved from something worse than crack. They got saved from Calvinism. I'm telling you, they got saved from Calvinism and they're Holy Ghost people now. Hallelujah. Huh? You know, here's the testimony. You know, I was on crack for 7 years. I was just smoking crack and lost my teeth and everything. And then the Spirit of God, I got saved and now I'm free and I'm looking good and letting it clean up. And we say, woo, that's hallelujah time. Let me tell you, when somebody said they got saved from Calvinism, it's like raising from the dead. They were frozen in a block of ice and God thawed them out and now they got life in them. Shalabaha. Glory to God. That's awesome stuff right there. I believe that that kind of spirit is sending more people to hell than all the crack dealers on the planet. That's spiritual fentanyl, Calvinism. Infant baptism and sinner's prayer theology is spiritual fentanyl, killing everybody. Okay. One more time. Turn to 1 John chapter 4. And I'm going to wind this down. We covered a good deal of this during our teachings on Stronghold. But let's start in verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit. Wait, what? Don't believe them? Well, they said they were saved. Well, quit believing all that. Just because they said, don't believe that. But test the spirit. Do you test them? How do you do that and not judge? Test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone into the world. Remember that. They thieves and robbers. Watch. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Now they have simplified this, I mean, big time. They've simplified this. Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. That's all they do. They just say that real quick. Let me tell you this. That ain't a spirit talk. That is a human being talking. Get the spirit up and let's just talk to them. Boy, I've had men and women who confess, well, Jesus is my Lord. I'm saved. I love the Lord. I tell you, Jesus is my Savior. And boy, I hear enough of that, and I'm looking at a person who has no signs of salvation. I just want to just irritate that thing till the Spirit comes up, and then we can deal with it. You'll know. Nobody have to tell you when it happens. All of a sudden, it ain't flesh and blood no more. You're talking to a devil. Oh, there you are. That's who I wanted to talk to. We got business to deal with. 2,000 years ago, Jesus defeated you at the cross. Come out, devil. Go. Go. I like it. You know, I've had this thought lately. You know, demons obey the word of God, but people won't. Are demons more righteous than people these days? By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. You see, there are people saying, oh yeah, I'm saved, but my body don't act like it. Well, that ain't confessing that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. When the Word is made flesh, we behold His glory. When Jesus comes into your flesh, it's changing you. Boy, come on. Every spirit that does not confess that Jesus has come in the flesh is not of God. See, I believe right in here we start dealing with what's called the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. The Nicolaitans, and Jesus said, I hate their doctrine. My heart loves Jesus, but my body don't obey Him because my flesh ain't saved yet. It will be when Jesus comes back. You see, that's a demon. That is a demonic doctrine of death. The Bible says, this is what it... I'm not making this up. I'm not trying to be harshly opinionated. Jesus said, I hate that doctrine. That's what Jesus said. Read it in the book of Revelation. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. Now, you see, the idea of confession, when Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father. If you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father. Now, let me explain this about confession. People say this quick emotional confession or a quick obedient confession. Let's confess the Lord. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you'll believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Well, what the sinner's prayer is, it ain't confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, nor believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead. What you're confessing is that God will forgive your sins. And in the end, you'll go to heaven. That's what you're confessing. Look at it carefully. If you confess with your mouth the Lordship of Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. See, faith in the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the criteria of the belief system of Christianity. This is supernatural, miraculous. We believe that the dead raise. Come on. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in me. And this new birth is a supernatural, divine, not an overhaul, not turning over a new leaf. I die with Christ and come up a new creature. By the word of God, I am regenerated. Regenesis. Come on, man. You see, this idea of confession is lip service. This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Look, when Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. If you deny me before men. See, it's easier to understand this when we understand the word denial. Go look it up. The word for deny means to contradict. And I can tell you a lot of people who confess with their mouth that Jesus, I'm saved, but their life is contradictory to every teaching of Jesus Christ. Litmus test. You want a litmus test? Understand the word of God. And so just because somebody said, well, I'm saved, I ain't buying it. Look, every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming in the world, already in the world. You're of God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore, they speak of the world and the world hears them. We're of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. See, here we see the discerning of an evil spirit. We discern good spirit, the body of Christ. We discern the Antichrist. And so if we don't have the Word of God, a relationship with the Word of God, we are literally set up for deception. If we don't have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, who is called the Spirit of Truth, as we worship in spirit and truth, the Word of God is a discerner. The Holy Spirit is a discerner. And he will begin to influence our human perceptors to discern. And we'll quit making stupid decisions. We'll quit doing foolish things. We can have the truth make us free. Come on, man. Well, go out and discern something. And get your discerner fixed. By the Word of God and the Holy Ghost. God bless. See you next week.
We are so thankful that you joined us for this teaching today. It's our sincere prayer that many of you would be born again through hearing God's Word. If you were blessed by this podcast, we would love to hear from you. For more information on Oikos Ministries, visit us on our website, www.housechurchesusa.com.